The date was the 6th of January, 1850. There was a young man in the garrison town of Colchester in England. He left his home that Lord's Day morning to go to the house of God, to a regular place of worship. The day was very inclement. The snow was falling heavily, and because of the adverse weather, he was not able to get to his place of worship. He turned aside down a street called the Tilbury Street and entered into a primitive Methodist chapel. That morning, there were very few in the house of God. Were not able to gather because of those poor weather conditions. There were around 15 or 16 present in the service. Minister was not able to come. And in his absence, a layman, we believe he was a tailor by trade, he was the one that brought the Lord's word to the congregation. The message that he proclaimed that morning, it is the words of our text. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and besides me there is none other. He spoke very plainly, very simply to the congregation. He did not speak with the enticing words of man's wisdom. The message was in the power and in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. But he noticed the young man sitting under the gallery, and he spoke to him as the Lord prompted him. He said, "Young man, you look miserable. You look in trouble." Young man had to testify later in his autobiography, "I was miserable in my sin and in my iniquities." But the wonderful message that the layman gave to that young man was this: look to the Lord Jesus Christ and you will live. You will have eternal life, everlasting life. You will have abundant life in the Lord Jesus, if you only look and live. That young man went on to say, "That was a charming word to my heart that morning. I could have looked until I looked my eyes away." Thank the Lord that morning, with the eye of faith, he looked upon the sin bearer, the Lamb of God, the Paschal Lamb. He believed that there was salvation alone in Christ, and he was gloriously saved, a sinner saved by grace. As he left the church that morning, justified alone by faith in Christ, with the snow still falling, everyone seemed to whisper, "Your sins, which were as scarlet, are whiter than the snow." I would pray this evening, or if you are like that young man, religious, orthodox, you know about Christianity, the gospel, you've sat under it many, many times, why would desire that this house would be a Bethesda to your heart, that it will be a house of mercy, and that you will realize tonight there is mercy with the Lord. For there is a mercy seat. The Lord Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sin. And your sins can be pardoned. They can be fully forgiven for Jesus' sake. And you will be able to say, "I am washed and I am whiter than the snow. It is well with my soul. For the Lord Jesus, the lover of my soul, he died for me." So men and women, the message that Isaiah preached many years ago, when he said to those hearers, "Look unto the Lord your God and be ye saved." This is still the gospel message. It is old, but it is ever new. And the message is still the same. You remember the message that Moses gave to the people in the wilderness? They murmured, they complained, not only against the Lord's servant, but against the Lord. And these poisonous snakes bite them, and many are dying. But the Lord graciously said to Moses, a remedy lifted up, a brazen serpent. And he said, whosoever shall look upon that brazen serpent shall live. They shall be healed instantly. And that is the message that the Lord proclaimed to Nicodemus, a self-righteous, a religious man. When he said to him that evening, and he said to him, as the Son of Man has been lifted up, he was saying that if you look with the eye of faith, you will have everlasting life. You will have life more abundant in the Lord Jesus. It was Amelia Hull, the hymn writer. She penned it in these words, there's life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. That is what you need most of all in life's journey. You need faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, saving faith in him now, this evening, this very hour. You know not what a day brings forth. You know not what's going to happen tomorrow. None of us can boast. So there is a great need now, this accepted time, that you will believe the gospel. You will take hold of Christ and accept his claims. So as we come to this text in verse 22, there are three glorious truths of the gospel I want to leave with you. First of all, we have here the direction the sinner needs to look onto. For how does it start? Look on to me. How does the verse end? For I am God, and there is none else. You see, this verse is teaching man's salvation, the redemption of man's soul, is exclusively and only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is salvation in none other. I recall that when I was ministering in Auchnacloy, we had a gospel text put on the front wall. This was the message that we would preach and proclaim. Words from the prophecy of Jonah, chapter 2, and the verse 9. Salvation is of the Lord. Here is the prophet, and he is saying, you need God's salvation. For you are miserable, wretched sinners, ruined with iniquity. But he is saying, here is a direction, exclusively, that you need to look onto in order to be saved. The Apostle Peter, when he stood before a council with John, you recall how that they threatened him. You're not to teach. You're not to preach anymore in his name. But what was the message this man sent of God said? Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If we are to be saved from going down to torment and to the pit, salvation alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. The message of Peter, the message of the Apostle Paul, he said, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We need God's redemption. He is the one who has purchased the price to set the prisoner, to set the captive free. And it is redemption through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul again writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, in the first letter, in the chapter 2, verse 5, he said, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. No matter where you look through the scripture, the Lord points you in the right direction. He shows you the way to have eternal life. And it is through the Lord our God alone. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Is this not taught here in this prophecy of Isaiah? If you look back there at chapter 43 and the verse 11, notice what the prophet says. In the verse 11 of chapter 43, he says, I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. There's only one who is the Savior of men. There's only one, and he qualifies for this office, being God, man, and being spotless. It is the Lord Jesus Christ alone. It's what the scripture teaches. It also teaches that he is the only redeemer of God's elect. If you look there at chapter 44 and the verse 22, you'll see the message that was proclaimed here by Isaiah was this. He said there in that verse 22 at the end, for I have redeemed thee. I am glad that my Redeemer liveth, that he is alive forevermore. I am so thankful that he gave himself a ransom for many. He purchased his church with his precious blood. And it is my desire tonight that you will think about a fountain open for sin and uncleanness. For here's the price of our redemption. That there at the cross, there at that place called Calvary, in which we glory, from Emmanuel's veins, a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. William Cowper, the hymn writer, there was a time when he was in an asylum. You know, he was suicidal, but God providentially moved, preserved his life physically, but the Lord saved his soul through the witness of a friend. And that prophecy of Zechariah 13:1, a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. Thank the Lord he saw that at the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood to put away all of his sin. And he believed to the saving of his soul. He wrote of how there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners that plunge beneath its flood lose all their guilty stains. Men and women, here is the direction we must look to that we may have eternal life. And we need to look this evening with the eye of faith upon the crucified one. Zechariah chapter 12 verse 10 says, they looked unto him whom they pierced, and they mourned. The Lord is saying, look unto me, the one who has been crucified, the one who has been wounded for your iniquities and for your transgressions. And I trust that you will look with the eye of faith, but also you will mourn, you will wail over your sin. You will hate it. You will despise it. You will flee from sin, unrighteousness, ungodliness. You will turn from it. That you will have sorrow of heart, that your soul will be wounded, and that you will see, as God hates sin, may you hate your sin, but may you confess your sin. Know that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word look here, it implies in the original that the people that the prophet was speaking to, they were looking in the wrong direction. They were not looking to the Lord for salvation and redemption, but they were looking to another. You'll see that is brought out in the portion. It speaks about idols. It speaks here about graven images and the gods of the heathen. Did you notice in our reading this evening? It indicates there in the verse 20. If you look at it with me, it says, you pray unto a God that cannot save. This is what they were doing. They needed redemption. They needed redemption from their enemies, but they were looking in the wrong direction. They were looking to Ashtaroth, Molech, to the gods of the heathen. They were bowing down to these gods that could not hear and could not save. Are they like you? Are you like them? Have you been looking in the wrong direction for eternal life and for God's salvation? Have you been looking to a church? Do you believe if I am a member, a congregational member in the Free Presbyterian Church, surely it will be well with my soul? You have deceived yourself. Salvation is not in a church. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus. Do you look to a creed? Would you say to the preacher tonight, I am orthodox in my belief. I believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. I believe that he suffered. I believe that he rose again. I believe he ascended on high. He is coming again. I am orthodox. I believe the Apostles' Creed. I was brought up to say the Apostles' Creed, and I believe it. That will not save your eternal soul. What saves is faith in the Lord Jesus, the friend of sinners, the only Redeemer of God's elect. This is how we are saved. So there is a direction we are to look in. Then secondly, we have here deliverance through this look. For what does it say? Be ye saved. Man needs salvation. Man needs deliverance from the power of sin, the penalty of sin. This is the great need of each and every one of us in this meeting. And Isaiah is saying here, the Lord has elected a people unto salvation. Do you see there in verse 4 of this portion, Isaiah chapter 45, he says, for Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called by thy name. They were a peculiar people, this nation Israel. They were not many, but they were few. And the book of Deuteronomy teaches they were chosen because the Lord loved them. He loved them. He chose them. He elected them to be a peculiar people unto him. And so it is with the bride of church, his church. A people that the Lord has chosen. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. We have been elected unto salvation. Robert Murray McShane in his hymn said, chosen not for any good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee. And it is a wonder when you think of God's marvelous grace. Doesn't depend on anything that we have done. For all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But I am glad it is all of free God's wonderful grace. That is how we are saved. When you think of the two sons of Isaac, Jacob, Esau by name, one the Lord loved, another he was hated. Jacob loved because of God's wonderful grace. There was no difference between the two. for both were ungodly by nature. There was no difference. But the Lord set his electing love on Jacob, and the Lord made him a prince, Israel. The Lord changed his life. He made the crooked one straight. And this is what the Lord is able to do tonight for you. Salvation is not of works. Salvation is all of grace. It is God's electing love, his unconditional love. And I trust that he will call you by name. For that's what he did here for Israel. We read it of how the Lord called him by name. And I believe that is the effectual call. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest." I remember it well. 17 years old, but a few days. And I heard the good news, the glad tidings of the gospel. What was the call? "Come, heavy laden, I will give you rest in your soul." I came as I was. I came to the Lord Jesus, and I rejoice that he did not cast me out. He took me in. And I am glad that the Lord Jesus receiveth sinful men. Tonight, if you acknowledge that you are a sinner, the Lord Jesus is calling you by name. What is he saying to you? Is he not saying to you what he said to Lazarus? "Come forth. You're dead in trespasses and in sin." And he's calling the prisoner, the one who is a slave to sin and to Satan. He is saying to you, "Come forth. You're sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death. But come forth, come to me, and have new life." Is he not saying to you what he said to Zacchaeus? "Zacchaeus, come down. Salvation will come to thy house. Salvation will come to thy soul." Is the Lord challenging your heart? Is he speaking to you personally? Well, I trust you will say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." An election unto salvation. But in verse 17, it says in this chapter 45, "Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation." This is a great salvation. This is a mighty deliverance. One of the favorite texts of William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, Hebrews 7:25, "Salvation to the uttermost, salvation forevermore." You see, the Lord does not simply say, "I will requite thy sin, I will forget about it for a season." Here is something that is definite for now and for eternity. This is an everlasting salvation. How do I know? I know because we sinners who were children of the devil, children of darkness, children of disobedience, children of wrath even as others, by the wonderful grace of the Lord Jesus, we are brought into God's family. And in his family, there is a legal relationship, a binding relationship that will not change. You know, the relationship is this: we become the sons of God. We become heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. And we are able to cry, "Abba, Father." We are able to say we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." You know that fostering a child is but for a season. But when a family adopt a child, legally they are their child for this time here in this world forever. And so it is God gives an everlasting salvation. He is able to make you a son of God. If you have wandered like the prodigal and you are afar away, can I say he waits? He is looking to show you compassion. And if you come in a right mind, and if you say, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned against thee, he will embrace you. He will forgive you of your sin for Jesus' sake. You will know the kiss of the Son. He will clothe you with a robe of righteousness. He will put a ring upon your finger. It speaks of a covenant. It will show that you are married to the Lord. He will bring you into the family. I see that pictured with Mephibosheth. He was the son of Jonathan. But David showed him mercy. It was for the sake of a covenant. For Jonathan and David, whose hearts were knit together in love, made a covenant. And the covenant was this: show kindness to one another. Show kindness to one another's family. David sought out Jonathan's son. He found where he was and he brought him right to the palace and to the king's table. And now he's found numbered amongst David's sons. He has a son in the royal family. And because of a covenant of grace, the sure mercies of David, the Lord brings us who are banished, exiles afar off. He brings us nigh through the precious blood of Christ. We have an everlasting salvation. What a wonderful thing to say, I am a son of God. Now I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. You see, a position of sons, it's everlasting. A pardoning of sin, this reveals to me an everlasting salvation. All my sin dealt with at the cross. He took our offenses and he nailed them to that tree. He paid it all. All to him I owe. It's wonderful to know there is a pardoning God. And what the prophet Micah said is so true. Who is a pardoning God like unto thee? Men and women, he waits to abundantly pardon. He waits to show to you his manifold mercies. And if you come tonight and if you confess and acknowledge your sin, he is willing to blot out all of your transgressions. Look at the chapter 44 here and the verse 22. Here is what the prophet said. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. The Lord is able to blot out, to erase all of your sin. For Jehovah's sword awoke, Christ it fell on thee. And there at the cross, he is the sin bearer. He suffered the just for the unjust. He died for the ungodly. Divine justice is satisfied. And the Lord raised him from the dead. He did not see corruption. Forgiveness. But then the Lord also forgets our sin. Look at the chapter 43. And the verse 25, chapter 43, and the verse 25. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions, and for mine own sake I will not remember thy sin. Your sin may be forgiven. Your sins will be forgotten. But there's one last thing I want you to see. Not only the direction to look in onto, look on to me, for I am God and there is none else. Not only deliverance through that look and be ye saved, but here are the dimensions of that look. All the ends of the earth. Who needs to look? I see no one's excluded. It's all inclusive. For it says, all ye ends of the earth. So everyone in this house this evening, we all need to look upon the Lord Jesus, the Prince of Life, the Man of Sorrows, if we are to be saved and delivered from the penalty, from the wage of sin, from the power, from the dominion of sin. You see, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all of one race. We are all of the first man, Adam. And in Adam, all die. The Bible tells us that all the world is guilty before the Lord. Have you acknowledged your guilt? Have you acknowledged your sin? You need to acknowledge it. You need to come tonight. If you are a self-righteous person, just like Charles Haddon Spurgeon, that was that young man who looked and was saved, that sixth day of January 1850, in that chapel in Colchester, son of a manse, his grandfather James was a pastor of the gospel. His father John was also a minister of the gospel. He had been taught how to pray. He had read many Christian literature books, Pilgrim's Progress, many others. But he wasn't saved until that age of 16, self-righteous. But all of his righteousness is as filthy rags. And that may be you. Except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Dear friend, tonight, there is a garment of salvation. There is a robe of righteousness. And Ezekiel, in that chapter 16, speaks of how the Lord passed by and he saw the nakedness and the shame and he spread a skirt. And it was a time of love. I am glad the Lord saw me in all of my need. And he spread upon me that garment of salvation. Jesus' blood and righteousness. My beauty are. My glorious dress. I am so thankful that the Lord is saying, no matter if you're high, low in society, whether you be young or old, whether you be a man or a lady, the message of the gospel is inclusive and it is saying to all the ends of the earth, look, be ye saved, for I am God and there is none other. In heaven there is a great multitude of all nations, kindreds and people who have heard the gospel and responded, wise unto salvation, washed the robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And the Lord tells us in the Gospel of Matthew that many in the kingdom of heaven who will sit down with Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, that these were they who were wise unto salvation. He speaks of the Ninevites. They will arise, they will condemn the unbelieving Jews, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. They repented. Except ye repent, you will likewise perish. The Lord commands all men everywhere to repent. The Queen of the South came, wise unto salvation. Queen called Sheba. So I trust that you will see tonight that the prophet, the message that the Lord is giving to you is this. There is a direction that you must exclusively look in, and that is to Christ. And if you do so, you will have an everlasting salvation so great, saved to the uttermost. life forevermore. And he is saying all men need to look, for there is no difference. The Jew and the Gentile both need the gospel of grace. To the Jew first, but also to the Gentile. So I trust you will be wise. You will not escape if you neglect this so great salvation. Be in time. If you're not far from the kingdom of heaven, do not be like Abner, who died as a fool. He was at the very door of the refuge city. But a step, and he would be safe. But he lingered. And it was there that he was smitten, and he died. There may be someone only a step to Jesus. I say, why not take it now? Will you not come tonight just as you are? Will you not humble yourself and say, Lord, I need your mercy. I need forgiveness. I believe there is one that you have sent from your bosom, and he is willing to save my soul. I cast myself upon him. I ask, Lord, for forgiveness, for your grace to be made known to me. Come this evening, just as you are. He will in no wise cast you out. He will take you in. You will become an heir, a joint heir with the Lord Jesus. If you are concerned, wait behind. One of the elders or myself, we would love to open up the scriptures and speak to you more, how that you can make sure that it is well with your soul, that even tonight you may be born again and enter in to the kingdom of God's dear Son. May the Lord be pleased to bless his word for his name's sake. Amen. We're turning to 245, please, just as we close the service. 245, there is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved, unto him who was nailed on the tree. We'll just sing the verse 1 and 2, and it's 245, please. First two verses only.